Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to Heal My Voice Radio, a show that is dedicated to providing information and engaging in conversations that support women listening to their inner voice, reclaiming personal power, reconnecting to their inner authority, empowering women through the healing of their voices. That is our mission. Well, my name is Andrea Hyland. I'm the founder of Heal My Voice. And as you heard that little typewriter in the beginning, you know, I always laugh about that because although we don't use typewriters, there's still something about connecting writing and our words and authors and books to the typewriter. And I've noticed that even my daughters who are in their 20s and 30s still relate to the typewriter. So today is an author show. I want to say I'm joined by Kathleen Nelson Troyer, who is a co-host today. Kathleen has been a part of Heal My Voice almost from the very beginning, has written stories in a number of the books, has written a blessing for this particular project, Innovative Voices, True Stories by Women Awakening a New World. Kat has written the foreword for that book. So I'm hoping, I was telling her my desire before the show, that we can do a show and focus on that forward because there's a lot of richness in that. So before I do any more introduction, I want to say hello to you, Kat.
Hi, Andrea. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me to join you today.
Great. Oh, your voice just sounds great. We have her husband, John, in the background who was fiddling with some technology. Tell him, good job. That sounds fabulous.
I will.
Yeah, your voice sounds really great. I want to say a few things before I tell you about the two guests we have. This show is the first of 7 radio shows highlighting the contributing authors leading up to the launch of the book, Innovative Voices, True Stories by Women Awakening a New World. This is the completion of a 9-month process where women were connected in an online community, in a secret Facebook group, and with weekly calls on Zoom, where they really went deeply into a story from their past to explore different layers of that story. Where were their challenges in their lives? What were the gifts and the triumphs? And the radio shows are a way for each of us to speak about the experience as we are integrating the new awarenesses that we had as we were writing this story. Even if it's a story we processed before, there was always something new we were discussing and learning. So, and I'll just say that for other online writing programs that are happening, you can go to healmyvoice.org. I'm going to just get that in before we move on. So we have two guests today, and I want to have you think about innovation before I welcome them on. When you hear the word innovation, what or who do you think of? Do you think of a famous inventor or entrepreneur? Do you think of a leading edge Fortune 500 company or a startup? Maybe a Nobel Peace Prize winner? But when I say the word innovation or innovator, do you think of yourself? Or do you think of the woman you're standing next to in the grocery line? The woman who's running an online business? The woman who's playing with her child at the playground? There's an inspirational TED Talk called The Art of Innovation where Denise Michaelides describes 3 ways to innovate. One is what we may think of first. Innovation can be very radical or breakthrough, like new products, processes, landing a man on the moon. The second way is redefining the way an existing company operates, like furniture is not a new idea, but IKEA manufactures furniture in a very differentiated, innovative way. But the third way is often overlooked, and this is continuous improvement, lots of small change all the time. Now, our guests today have all, I see all of the authors in this book as innovators, as women who have had personal awakenings that have led them to continuous improvement, lots of small change all the time. So think about that as we welcome them on. So our two guests today are Karen Porter and Jenny Robertson. Karen Porter wrote a story called In the Process of Knowing, and we are going to start with her. But before we do that, I just want to hear both of your voices. Jenny, do you want to say hello to the audience so we can hear that you are here? All right. She may have muted herself and stepped away. Anyway.
Spoke and forgot.
Oh, there you are.
Here I am. Yes, I am here. Thank you, Andrea.
All right, great. All right, Jenny is here. I know that we're going to turn our attention to you the second half of the show, although you are wearing one of the co-host hats too. So if you have questions for Karen, I invite you to unmute and come into the process. And then Karen, I'm going to tell you a little bit about her. So in this show, we are really a group of women who are sitting around having a conversation and learning something new in the process of talking with each other. And so we're going to turn our attention to Karen. Karen has contributed 8 stories to Heal My Voice and co-authored Conscious Choices, An Evolutionary Woman's Guide to Life. She is an ordained minister of spiritual peacemaking and leads healing meditations incorporating Tibetan singing bowls. In 1991, Karen was the first parent to travel to the USSR to adopt. And seeing the conditions in her son's orphanages, she began relief work and co-founded Children in Common. There are two links on the show page for her Facebook account and Twitter account, so you can click on those to learn more about Karen. So Karen, welcome to the show. All right, are you muted?
Hello?
I wonder where she went.
I don't know. She was here.
I bet she's calling back.
Okay, I see her line is still here.
Okay, I'm unmuted.
All right.
There
yeah,
you are.
You hear me?
Welcome, Karen.
Oh, I think the mute button was having a mind of its own.
Okay. Well, I was in the process of knowing what was happening with you. So that's what it looks like. You wait, right? You wait, you're patient and all of that. So Karen, to really dive into your story, can you tell the listeners a little bit about what is your story about? Do a brief summary and then to read some of the paragraphs from it.
Actually, I'm going to just dive in and read and then tell you what the rest of the story presents. Okay?
Beautiful. I love it. Go for it.
Excellent. Okay, so as Andrea said, the story is called In the Process of Knowing. How many times have you known something was wrong, just to be told that it's all in your head? Why is inner wisdom silenced, questioned, and dismissed? I believe inner wisdom is something we all have and have been culturally conditioned to ignore. My inner wisdom, my core sense of certainty, kicks in, so I cannot deny it. There are things I just know, with no outer information or facts to support the sensing I feel. This knowing has always been proved accurate. It seems to be a mix of intuition and faith. It has nothing to do with acquired knowledge or research. Knowing something this way is a full body experience, a cellular acknowledgement of truth. It has taken me years to understand how I navigate. I ask questions, I listen for answers. I know how to access that inner wisdom. But for most of my life, my certainty was silenced through fear and obedience. I learned to doubt myself and my body. The realities of sexual abuse. Nothing so horrible could actually be happening. Dysmenorrhea. Believed about how I suffered every week with debilitating cramps and gushing menstrual flow. No reason not to stay pregnant, the doctor said. If you had not been trying to get pregnant, you would be happy now, a female gynecologist told me after confirming a miscarriage. Years later, an ultrasound showed multiple fibroid tumors, unexplained rigidity in my abdomen. Whether it is somatized trauma or a compensation for a malformed and dysfunctional lymphatic system, or a combination of both, does not matter. It is all real. How sad is it that we just hand over control and care of our bodies even when we know it is not in our best interest? How much do we suffer because our voices are not heard? How many of us have self-diagnosed and had doctors reluctantly admit that it could be true? How diminished must we be before we rise and declare enough? Who knows my body better than I do? So that is mostly, there's a little bit more, but that's mostly the beginning of the story. And from there, I share what my purpose has been in healing a hereditary condition, primary lymphedema tarda, and it is basically, I have always said, well, everyone's always said, oh, you have grandmom's legs, you have your grandmother's legs, I have my grandmother's legs, I have my grandmother's body, and she and three of her sisters had the same body type. Now, two other sisters had very different body types. But it was like the, you know, there were four of them that were like stamped out cookie cutter. They all had the same body. It was very swollen, very lumpy. And I never really put that, thinking that that was a hereditary condition, that I just thought that it was a body type. So the rest of the story is about the process of discovering that there really were reasons, physical reasons, why I had swelling, why I had pain in my legs, why I had itching, why I was intolerant of the heat, and how I have had to fight to get treatment, because in the United States, doctors are not educated about primary lymphedema. The emphasis is on secondary, because it comes as a result of surgeries, especially cancer surgeries, because lymph nodes are taken for diagnostic purposes, and therefore the lymph is compromised. And I was born with a compromised lymphatic system, but doctors only receive an aggregate, you know, 30 to 40 minutes of training about the lymphatic system during their entire education. And they're taught, they are taught that primary lymphedema is so rare, they will never see it. So if I were a citizen of Eastern Europe or Germany, it would be assumed that part of my regular health routine, 8 weeks of inpatient treatment every year because of this condition. And in the States, you know, I'm paying for basic two-thirds of my treatment out of pocket, and I can only get very limited services. So you take the path along with me, and how I had to, you know, basically fight to be seen, fight to receive services. And I researched and found an inpatient program in Austria that caters to international clientele, recognizing that other countries don't have programs for inpatient treatment. And I'll be leaving in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks. And I'll be inpatient for 3 weeks, and looking forward to all the changes. But it's been a real roller coaster, physically and emotionally. And I think that I've captured some of that in the story itself. I know that the Heal My Voice circle has held me very lovingly through this healing process, because it has been quite trying. It's been basically a full-time job for the last several years. So,
Karen,
I
want to jump in, because it's a really amazing story, and I'm sure that there are many listeners who can relate to having had health challenges that were, you know, that it's like, well, you go to the doctor, you think the doctor's going to know what the treatment is, but then this whole denial of what you already knew to be true, and you being told, no, that's all in your head. In the process of knowing is a very innovative way of looking at life, because I know that having known you for many years, the way you and I used to talk was, I don't know what's going on. So can you explain how, you know, the shifting from I don't know into in the process of knowing? Can you share a little bit of wisdom for that?
Yeah, it actually came, the line, the phrase, in the process of knowing, came from a mutual friend of ours, Lucky Sweeney. And she had moved back to Baltimore, and we were meeting in conscious circles, and we had met for lunch to discuss one thing or another. And at one point, she called me on that I did that. Whenever I was asked a question, I'd say, I don't know. And she said, just listen to what you're saying. Stop that, because it's not the truth. You really do know. And if you don't know it fully, you're in the process of knowing. And that was a gigantic shift for me.
Where does that knowing come from?
Well, before, I think that I had been, I learned to be afraid of my knowing, because it was spooky. You know, I would know that, like, with just through dreams or through a sense, that there was going to be a death in the family, or that when someone announced they were pregnant, I would know that baby's not going to be born. And there that just eerie. And so I diminished that. I ignored it. I learned to question myself and believe the, you know, quote unquote experts. Well, they know, you know, they've been to school for this. They should know what, you know, why do I think I know when I haven't been to school for however many years and served as many hours and with patients and blah, blah, blah. So that, I think that honoring that, recognizing that it was there, recognizing that I had it. I had a pretty finely tuned skill of knowing when I was young, and flashes of it throughout my life, that I would choose to, you know, just dismiss, and being reconnected to that. And also realizing that it's not having all the answers, and the process of knowing has nothing to do with having all the answers. It has to do more with knowing I'm headed in the right direction. And I don't know, you know, all the steps that are going to be ahead of me, but I know the next couple, and that's fine. And I trust that I will know when, you know, I need to make another decision, what the best thing for me will be.
I love that,
Karen.
The way that, yeah. Go ahead. Do you want to ask a question? Because I just felt that too, Kat. Like, I love the, you know, I know a few steps, or maybe I know the next step or whatever. So, yeah, Kat,
you know,
jump in here.
I think so many of us as children are connected in with our inner wisdom, right? And then we go through this process of growing up and, you know, growing up within the institutions that are, you know, that we grew up in. And there's this almost like systematic chipping away at our own inner authority. And that's one of the things I love about Heal My Voice, because it helps the 9-month process, the story writing process, really helps you get in touch with that. And Karen, you've been, you know, you've written a story for every one of the 10 Heal My Voice books. And I'm curious, because I think I shared this with you. When I read your story, I started sobbing. Because it, your story is so intense, and your healing process is the way that you've been able to step forward in your healing process really, really touched my heart. And I'm wondering, what advice do you have for women, or, you know, for anyone actually who's approaching something as scary as you're approaching, right? Without the structure here in the States to support your illness, when it's, you know, when it's, there's clearly infrastructure in Europe, what advice do you have for someone to, you know, to obtain that kind of trust?
Oh, that's a big one. What I would encourage everyone to do is to treat themselves as if they're another person. Think of how you are an advocate for an ailing parent, or how you are a warrior for your child, or how you are the cancer buddy for a friend or a sister. And the things you will do for that other person, there is no one but you to do it for you. And you know yourself, you know your body, you know that when you eat something, you have a reaction, you know when a certain, you know, set of circumstances happen, that you tend to react in a certain way. You know your body. You may not know all the Latin names for every part of your body, but you know that you carry a specific hurt in a specific area. And you know when that's triggered, you may have a compulsion to do something. If a friend were to have that kind of reaction, how would you react? You wouldn't say it's all in your head.
No.
You wouldn't say, that's stupid. There's no reason why you should feel that way. You would get out a snuggly blanket and make a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and get the box of tissues ready and do some, you know, serious comforting. And if we can be as vocal an advocate and as fierce a warrior for ourselves as we can be for other people. We're going to be asking more questions. We're not going to be accepting easy answers because we know that it's one thing involved. And one, a pill may address a symptom, but there may be something else that really needs to be looked at too. If you have just something in you saying, I am just, the idea of a glass of lemonade, it's just so right now. There's probably some enzyme in citrus that your body is needing. Look at it that way. The cravings are talking to, speaking to a certain need. Even salt, sweet, any of those kinds of things can be, if fear is triggered, if anxiety is triggered, okay, so what part of me is reacting and what part of me is needing some reassurance? So you're the only one who knows.
So you're saying pay attention to the little voice inside your head that's telling you how to take care of yourself?
Well, that's definitely one of the voices we need to listen to. And we also kind of need to be kind of uppity women who don't know our place in the doctor's office.
Yeah.
And say, really, really, you think that? You think that's fat? You think my legs are fat? Can you explain the fact that I just went through a weight loss program and lost 80 pounds? And my legs are actually bigger now than they were. Can you explain that?
Oh my God.
And that's true. That's the truth. But everyone has that kind of truth in their life. And so don't be afraid to state it. This is the fact. And your answers are not satisfactory. If they aren't,
if
the answers are, then that's fine. That's great. But if they aren't, hesitate to seek out a second opinion, to look into alternative forms of treatment, to, practice stress reduction, meditation, self-care, look at how sleep or the lack of sleep affects you and affects your well-being, your overall well-being, or your specific problems. There's so many facets, your nutrition, your water intake, everything, your activity level, can worsen some situations and can really help others. So it's honoring your body, honoring that your body knows what it needs, and learning to follow through with that knowing. So, when you know you really shouldn't have that cup of coffee at 9 o'clock because you're not going to fall asleep, and if you find yourself really not wanting to fall asleep, that's something to look at. That's been one of my issues. Just be willing to be willing to kind of call yourself on stuff, and also being very, 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 very gentle and compassionate with yourself.
Yes. And that's a practice, isn't it?
Oh, gosh, yes.
I also heard you, Karen, talk about having support around you. And I wanted to say that too, that I wanted to shine a light on that because what I hear you saying is being your own advocate and really standing up to medical professionals and knowing the truth of what's happening with your body and all of that, but knowing that you don't have to do it alone and that having
and
support is an important piece of it.
Right. And build a support team. And the team may have nothing to do with medicine, or it might include an acupuncturist or a naturopath or your regular internist. But it also might include, that you really do need 9 hours of sleep, or, you feel calmer if you have a candle burning or an essential oil diffuser. There are, whatever it is, be willing to do that. So you can have the person you call when you need to laugh, and you have the person to turn to when you really don't feel like cooking dinner, but always has, we all have friends who have something in the freezer that they can pull out and just, hand your way. If transportation is an issue, then, you get resources for that. The feeling isolated and alone is a danger. So if you know that you have a specific issue for which there are support groups, take advantage of the support groups, because you really won't feel so alone, and your family may not know exactly what you're going through, but those other people in the support group really will. So having a buddy or having a whole team, it's really very, very important. But you are the authority for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you are.
Amen.
Oh, I love it that you ended with that. Yeah, that's an amen. All right. I'm being very conscious of we're at the half hour mark. And the way that I just want to kind of wrap up this short conversation with you, Karen. First of all, I want to invite you to come back onto a Heal My Voice show once you're back from Austria and you've had some time to integrate your process and just share some of the things that you learned on there. So do I have a high five, a yes, that you'll come back?
Absolutely.
And talk more?
Yes.
Because
absolutely.
I know that your story was about a certain part in your life, but you're about to go to Austria and have an intensive treatment and support in the way that you haven't had it up until now.
Right.
We'll bookmark that and just tell people to look for a show in, December or January when you've had some time to come back and integrate and process
Great. What
happens.
Wonderful.
Yeah. All right. Anything else to close this part, Kat? Do you have anything you want to say?
Oh, I just admire you so much, Karen. And I'm happy to be one of the people in your life who you call when you need to laugh. Because you're that for me.
Oh, my God. I just love being around
the
laughter.
Yeah.
The laughter is so good. I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
Okay. So we're going to transition here to Jenny Robertson. And first, I want to introduce Jenny. Her story is called I Don't Have to Do It That Way Anymore. Jenny Robertson is the president of Jenny Robertson LLC, an organization that connects women around the world to their gifts, their purpose, and each other. She has monthly live and online gatherings of the On Purpose Woman community. The print and online publication of On Purpose Woman magazine, and an annual On Purpose Woman conference. And for 3 years, she was the co-host of Woman Talk Live Radio on 680 WCBM in Baltimore. And in 2012, she was named one of Maryland's top 100 women daily record. And her website is jennyrobertson.com. It's easy to click on the show page to go there. And I also want to say something personal about Jenny, that I started going to her organization and be part of the On Purpose Women community when I had a friend who was doing Evolutionary Women retreats. And I went there in January of 2007. And in many ways, I can say that Heal My Voice was my process of going to those and continuing to be a part of that community where I've had chances to practice my voice, try different things, you know, explore who I am and what my message is in the world. And so I'm really grateful for that. And Jenny, I want to welcome you onto the show.
Thank you, Andrea. I did unmute, right?
Yes. You're here. And I'm sorry that half an hour went so fast with Karen. I know we were talking about you coming in and asking a question. And maybe you don't have to hold everything in a show. Maybe that's the message here. You get to show up and talk about your own story. But if there's anything that struck you or that you want to weave into this half hour, please feel free to do that.
I will. Thank you.
So let's start with you either reading some of your story or telling a bit of a summary to bring the listeners into your innovative story.
Okay, I'll start by actually reading the beginning of the story, and then I'll fill in a few of the afterwards. My story is called, I Don't Have to Do It That Way Anymore. I park in front of the tidy suburban home and get out of my car. I've been told to use the side entrance. It all feels weird to me, unprofessional and scary, but strangely a bit exciting. I ask myself, what kind of therapist works out of a home office? This is all new to me. A couple of weeks earlier, the marriage counseling, my first husband, I'll call him Z, and I had been seeing, kicked me to the curb. That's what it felt like anyway. We were in our fifth week of counseling. In the middle of the session, Z blew up and said that he didn't want to answer questions with me in the room. The counselor told me to sit in the waiting area for a bit while they talked. When he brought me back in, he said that Z had issues that had little to do with our marriage and that they had to be dealt with before we could move forward with couples counseling. They had agreed to continue to work together, and he recommended another therapist for me. In retrospect, I should have felt a huge sigh of relief. I knew we both had personal issues that impacted our marriage. I was not comfortable with a therapist who was so traditional and head-centered. However, the two of them made this decision for and without me, and it felt like all the other times that someone else, especially a man, had decided what was best for me. The counselor scribbled a name and number on a piece of paper and told me to call and make an appointment. Then I was dismissed. So now I'm going to meet this new therapist. I know nothing about her other than her name, Nancy. I walk in and this smiling, energetic, lovely woman greets me warmly. I sit down and she leans back in her chair like she has all the time in the world and says, "So tell me, what's going on?" I think, "What? You want to know what's going on with me?" In 5 weeks of marriage counseling, I had never been asked that question. Now that I have, I don't have an answer. And my story is about, in those next 5 minutes, I said a few things about how I felt things were going for me. And this counselor, this lovely woman, Nancy, said one thing to me that shifted my whole perspective on life. I know that sounds rather dramatic, but it was as though the shutter opened, a bit of light got in, and I could see something I had never seen before. And things started to shift from that point. So my story is really about that and three major times then in my life where what she said to me helped me to make some major, major changes and big shifts and decisions in my life.
Jenny, why do you feel like this story, you know, because part of the process in Heal My Voice is that we spend a month or two just kind of lightly journaling and listening and allowing a story to surface that would really serve us to take another look at. You know, it's a story we're familiar with, but we're looking at it in an even deeper way. Why do you feel like this story was the story that bubbled up right now at this time?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that it had been there for a while. I wasn't like, you know, it had happened and I hadn't thought about it over the years. In many of my talks and workshops over the years, I talked a bit about how we make changes and how sometimes they just come in an instant. And it could be that one thing that someone says to us. And I'm a huge believer that we all need to be that person for other people as well. And so, you know, if you remember, I had another story that I was also kind of working on in between, and that one just didn't have the energy around it. And I felt like this was an important story to tell for a couple of reasons. One is when I share the story with people in workshops, I usually get the same response, and that is, you had that? You did that? Because I think people see me now and they think, I've always been like this. I've always kind of known who I am, you know, and that they're working on process, that they're the only ones who have processes. And there's this kind of look that says, oh, wow, you went through that too? And, you know, as part of my organization, what I've been doing with the On Purpose Woman community for the past 17 and a half years has been about women showing up real, taking the masks off and letting us see each other in our imperfection so that we don't think we're out here walking around totally alone or wrong or stupid or bad, and that we can then see how we shift things. We can learn from each other. But, you know, I grew up in a world, first in a world at home and then in a corporate world where people were pretty much perfect acting and looking. You know, we put on our persona, and we pretended like everything was great. And, you know, a lot of people I know went home then and either drank or beat their kids. You know what I mean? It was just a terrible environment for just fake stuff. And so this story, probably more than any other thing in my life, is about me hearing just such a – and I'm not going to tell you what she said to me, because that's why you need to read my story when the book comes out. But just that one simple thing that she took the time to say to me had such a huge impact. And so I think, you know, this story this time, because, you know, I've been involved or thought about being involved in other Heal My Voice stories, and I just didn't feel like I had the perfect, not the perfect thing to say, but it wasn't the perfect time for me to say it. And this just felt right, even before I knew it was the last book in the series. I had no idea when I said yes that it was going to be the last book. So, yay.
I'm glad you're here, because actually you wrote a story in Conscious Choices, an Evolutionary Woman's Guide to Life, and I see that as the mother seed for Heal My Voice. So it's interesting. You were there in the beginning, and you're there in the end.
Isn't that interesting?
I know. Always the perfect time, perfect place. Kat, did you have anything bubbling up?
You know, Jenny, I've been working with you on my voice, gosh, you know, since what, 2011, either as an author or you know, got involved with the board. But so many of the authors are based in Maryland, because that's where Andrea lived. And I just want to say it's so much fun to be on the show with you, because, you know, On Purpose Women, the On Purpose Women community that you've created is, you know, from someone who's in the Bay Area and not out, you know, outside of your, outside of Baltimore. I've always been so impressed by the caliber of women that have been attracted, and also just all the positive things they say. So I'm curious to know a little bit about, you know, about why you started it, and maybe tell us a little bit more about the organization.
Thank you. I would love to. And let's see. It goes back a little bit. In 1991, on New Year's Eve 1991, I left my corporate career as in finance and banking. And I went to work for a seminar company who had their roots in California, and they had been here for a couple of years, had never quite gotten a solid foundation here, but I had done amazing work with them, and I had gone through their facilitator training program, and I took this job with them at a huge pay cut just to go do something I really wanted to do. And a couple of years later, they left the area, and I didn't have a job with them any longer, so I was trying to figure out what was my next step. What was I going to do next? I knew I didn't want to go back into the corporate world, and I was already kind of a dinosaur anyway because I wasn't keeping up with what was going on in that industry. And I had an opportunity through a series of really interesting coincidences to work with an organization called the Whole Life Expo. And the Whole Life Expo is also based out of, I think they were out of San Francisco. And they went around to different cities and did these big three-day events at the Baltimore or at the convention centers in the area. This one was going to be at the Baltimore Convention Center. And I started just kind of connecting with the people who came into town to put it on 6 months out and ended up getting hired by them for a six-month period to do some liaison with ticket outlets and their volunteer program and so forth. And the next year, they gave me the contract to actually put the event on here. They were doing their thing in California. They were still working behind the scenes with the big-name speakers and everyone we had come in. But I was here making it happen. And after that event, I realized I had just made some amazing connections. I did not have a lot of women in my life. I didn't think we were playing all that well in the corporate world. And I had just not had a lot of women who were close in. But I was meeting some of the most amazing women. And I decided to throw a party at my house just for women. And it was going to be on a Saturday afternoon. I called it a girlfriend party. I sent out handwritten invitations because it was really before I was using the internet. And all I said was, I know some really fabulous women. I know you must too. Invite them, show up Saturday at 2:00, bring food. And that was pretty much all the instructions. 65 women showed up for that first gathering. And it was pretty fabulous. And we just had an afternoon of women connecting and sharing. And I thought, well, I'm going to do this every year because I'm a fan of ritual. And the women there said, you can't wait. You have to do it. You have to do it again sooner. And so I decided to do it for 4 quarters. And different women came. Some of the same women came. But two things were pretty constant. In the afternoon, I would give everybody an opportunity to take a minute or so and introduce themselves to the room. Also, I had noticed over and over again how the women were connecting at a level that I had never really encountered in my corporate environment. There was this degree of what felt like self-honesty and authenticity and genuine interest and curiosity about each other. And I had no idea what that was called, but I knew I wanted more of it. And that was really, really, really like the coolest thing that happened there. The thing that wasn't as cool is that when I would give women an opportunity to stand up and talk about themselves, there were so many women who just had such difficulty with that. They either didn't know what to say. Some of the women had businesses, some didn't. They didn't know how to say it. They couldn't use a big voice and use their voice in a big way and speak loud enough to be heard or make eye contact or stand up straight. And it just kind of hurt my heart that some of these women had just been beaten down. They had been told who they were and they believed it. And I had this idea after doing this for 4 quarters, well, what would happen if I took this out of my home, created an organization around it, and gave women a safe place to show up and practice being who they really are? And that was how the On Purpose Woman community came into being over 17 years ago. And it is that mission to connect women around the world and to give women a safe place to show up and practice being who they really are has never wavered. That is the constant throughout the whole period of time. Thanks for asking, Kathleen.
Oh, that's so cool. Thanks for sharing.
I want to say, too, I want to shine a light on something else that happens there, Jenny, that so when I started coming to On Purpose Woman community, I wasn't there for some of those early times, but I've been a part of it for now 11 years. I just got a big smile and felt all the growth in that, those 11 years. But like I had a big voice in certain areas of my life, and I was a part of Girl Scouts, and we were organizing events for like 1,000 people, and I would stand up on the stage and talk to everyone. But the thing that I have been able to do in On Purpose Woman is try out different parts of myself. And so the voice of the Girl Scout leader standing on the stage, I had grown into that voice. But I hadn't grown into these other parts of myself, or to even see myself as having a business or speaking on a particular topic or being vulnerable in that way. And so I want to shine a light on that, because I've seen women come into the community who have a strong voice in certain areas of their life. But you have created this really safe, nurturing, encouraging space for women to practice wearing a different hat that maybe they haven't uncovered yet. They haven't unwrapped yet. So have you noticed that over the years, or what have you noticed evolving with On Purpose Woman?
That is probably the greatest blessing in doing this work, is when I think back to all the amazing women I have met over the years and how many of them may have come in, even, you know, like you say, having a big voice in one area of their life, but maybe not even aware yet of some other gift or talent or skill or desire that they had, and then start to tap into that. You know, someone who comes in and knows that they're a coach doing this particular work, and then 3 years later they realize, wow, that's not really, I think my gifts are in this. And so I think that we do provide that environment for a woman to show up and express herself. And, you know, I've always said, when you do your introduction, it's a place to be messy. It's a place to try things on and see how they sound and see what kind of response you get. But I think that the thing that really makes it the space to do that is also, like Kathleen said, the quality of the women who show up. Because without mm-hmm. that, you know, you can't be an empty container. I don't do it all by myself. But I also will take some credit for attracting the quality of women who do show up, because I was really clear in the early days that I wanted to attract women who I wanted women who were in some process, at least, who kind of knew a bit about who they were and were moving forward and that sort of thing. I wanted to attract a lot of women like that, so that the women who weren't in that space, who showed up, could be helped by us, if that makes sense. I knew I couldn't have a whole room full of women who needed help, because I wasn't the person to do that. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you've created the environment, and you've invited women to come speak, but I will say it's because I stood up and took advantage and used the opportunity step into it, not thinking anybody else was going to do it for me. But you created
right.
the space
right.
and the container and the mm-hmm. encouragement and the inspiration for it. But, yeah, we each have to do it ourselves. So, yes.
Yeah, and I think it was the caliber of women who showed up, women who were – I guess if I had to put, you know, on the – it's all different women, obviously, and some women stay and some women move on. But it's this – curiosity, it's women who show up curious and want to know, well, what more is there for me? That sort of thing. And then there, I remember a woman showing up in the very early days, and she was older than I am now. She was almost 70, and she was starting a business, and she was wanted to write. And she stood up and said, I'm not a very good speaker. And I said, well, what evidence do you have for that? You know, and she kind of smiled, and I said, and then she goes, I want to be a writer. And I said, are you writing now? And she said, yes. And I said, then you are a writer. And it was just, you know, words like that. She came in fairly wounded, which isn't, you know, the bulk of the women don't. But just some affirming words like, you already are that, you know, things that a lot of us would just take for granted, you know, gave her something. That she stood a little taller the next time she came in. And so I think too, it's this belief that I have, and I know you share this, Andrea, that we all just want to be seen and heard. And that's what we do there. We give women an opportunity to be seen and heard at their best or at their most
challenged. I might write that down. That was sounded good.
Yeah.
That's pretty. I was thinking that's really beautiful.
it is recorded. So if you didn't get it, you can come back and listen to the show and write it down there.
Yeah.
Any other questions, Kat, that you wanted to ask? As we I see we're about 5 minutes to the top of the hour.
I just wanted to say, I think it's a beautiful platform that you've created, women, anyone, but especially women, to be able to be seen and heard is so empowering. So, thank you for that.
Thank you.
And Jenny, is there anything you want to say? Anything else that you want to say? We have about 5 minutes left. So instead of asking you a specific question, I'll just leave it open-ended here.
Okay, when you'd asked me earlier about, why the story now, I gave you some of my reasons, and one of them is that I just think it's a story that other women can relate to, and I think it's important to let other women know where we've been so they know they're not alone in that. And this whole idea of, women awakening a new world, I think to be able to wake up anything, including ourselves, we have to first be aware and be paying attention to what is actually going on in our world and with us. And I love this idea, and someone, a speaker at my meeting, I had a On Purpose Woman community meeting just this morning here at my home, and the speaker, Mia Zachary, said that she'd heard this lovely saying one time that she adheres to, and it is lift as you rise. And what that means is that we don't have it all together. We don't have to know everything. We don't have to be doing everything in order to inspire and encourage other women, that we can be two steps ahead and say, here, come on with me. We can know just a little bit more than somebody behind us and still really be encouraging. And I think the message that I had gotten for most of my early life was, I have to go get the PhD first. I have to go do this first and make that happen before I have had anything to say or anything to share or any gifts to actually give a value to other people. And I just think we have to know a little bit more than somebody behind us, or around us. And we all know a little bit more than somebody on something. And so I guess my message is, don't let what you may perceive as your lack of qualifications to hold you back. Because I don't know if you've ever gotten this question, Andrea, but I did some coaching 20 years ago before it was an industry. And I remember saying, well, what are your qualifications? And it's like, wow, life is my qualification. And mm-hmm. I think that we just take too much on that sometimes, that we think we have to wait till we get everything in a row and lined up before we can actually be an inspiration to anyone else. I think there's a story in there somewhere. Yeah,
I know. I love that, or at least a blog post, but definitely a story.
Yeah.
So I just want to let everyone know that the on-air live part of the show is going to end in about 1 minute, but I want us to take a few more minutes to just circle around. The recording will continue. Jenny, I want to ask you to let people know, what's a good way to connect with the community? Tell something about On Purpose Woman, because you've gone through some changes now, and there's an online option for those of us who are in other parts of the country now. So could you tell us a little bit about ways to connect with you and what's happening?
Yes. My website is jennyrobertson.com, and it's GINNYROBERTSON. Has all of our monthly meetings. And by the end of the week, you'll also have the, I can't think of the word I'm looking for, the online gatherings. Something I started about a month and a half ago. So there's an option for any woman who wants to join us once a month using the Zoom platform to show up for an hour and to get to know each other, to introduce ourselves, and there's always a discussion topic. And people can email me at Jenny, G-I-N-N-Y, Presley, like Elvis, PRESLEY Robertson@gmail.com to be added to the list so they would get information on that when it happens. It's a great way to connect and learn and see other women doing some very cool things and to be inspired.
Wonderful. And there's a Facebook group also for the community, the members, and also there's a public community. I have different links on the show page for anyone who wants to, you know, well, if you're listening to the show, you've got the links right there in front of you on the computer. So to click on that. So thanks, Jenny. And
I want to
circle back really quickly and just ask Kat, is there anything that you want to share with what's going on with you with work, ways for people to get in touch with you?
Thanks, Andrea. The best way to reach me is through my website, KathleenNelsonTroyer.com. And I've got a newsletter sign up there, and I'm just about to release a new ebook that's going to be a gift to my subscribers. So that's going to happen probably, I'm hoping it happens before the book launch, actually, the Innovative Voices book launch. But it's going to happen within the next few weeks either way. Yeah, so that's probably the best way to reach me. I've also got the Gently Moving Forward page on Facebook, which is a page that helps us to focus on bringing a little gentleness into our lives so that we can actually be more powerful.
Wonderful. Thank you. And I will everyone know that Innovative Voices is going to be released on October 27th. There are already on the Heal My Voice page on Facebook, we're celebrating a different woman every day who has been a part of the project, either holding space, writing, being in the energy with us for the last 9 months in different ways. So you can go there. But come and join us on October 27th on that page, because there's going to be a few live things happening and there are radio shows for the next week. So come back and listen to the other authors and the different stories that are there also. And I just realized that actually on Wednesday, Marie from Sweden and I are going to do this as a Zoom call. So I don't know. We're innovators. We're trying different things, you know, and technology keeps improving and changing and we're adapting moment by moment. All right, Karen, did you have anything else that you wanted to circle around and tell us?
Something that I once said in a group and then have often repeated. I think that Jenny embodies this, and On Purpose Network embodies this. I told a teacher at one point that their success will never diminish me, and no one's success will ever diminish me. And if we can hold that as a truth in our lives, that we can celebrate and we can really celebrate every person's achievement, because their achieving takes nothing away from me. And it probably will help pave the way for me to achieve what I want to achieve. Thank you, Jenny, for doing that for so many women. I've been in and out of On Purpose, and because I generally just do my own thing, and I'm Andrea's chauffeur when she was in town. But it's a wonderful network. It's a wonderful community that you've created, and I'm really glad to hear that you're doing it online now. That's great, since I'm in Seattle and not Baltimore.
I know. I'm excited to check that out.
Good. Thank you for those kind words, Karen. They mean a lot. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Beautiful. Well, this was, to me, a really special show in my own heart, because all of you have been a part of Heal My Voice for so long, and the growth of women
stepping more into their voices, that each of us in our own ways has been doing that. And so I thank you all for being here.
It was a pleasure.
And Kat, thanks for jumping in as co-host today. This is fun.
My pleasure. My
here.
Pleasure. It's so very fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. So it's great to hear your voice. And I'll just end with one other thing. HealMyVoice.org is the website for Heal My Voice. And Beth Terrence and I are going to be doing a 30 days of writing and reflecting during the month of November. And we're opening the doors to both women and men who would like to come in and, you know, rest a little bit, do some reflecting, have time to process what's going on in your life. We'll have weekly Zoom calls and a daily prompt, a daily inspiration to write about or meditate on. So check that out on healmyvoice.org. All right. So we did it. The show is complete. Thanks, ladies.
Thank you, Andrea.
Bye-bye now.
Thank you. Right. Bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.